and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Meteorologists are warning of a heat dome returning to the central part of the country this week. It will expand into the north and west for the remainder of this month. KMOV-TV meteorologist Leah Hill is in St. Louis.
It's a muggy and warm day, and it's just rinse and repeat. In fact, the heat gets even hotter, and it builds even more, especially come Tuesday and Wednesday. As we lose the cloud cover, we lose the rain chances, and now we're all just exposed to that intense heat.
In Oregon, a group was trying to cool off at a waterfall when six of them were swept over it. They went over Dillon Falls near the city of Bend. At least one person is dead, though two others have not yet been found since yesterday. The other three were taken to a hospital. Today marks 6 months since President Trump took office. For another Sunday, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick tells our Face the Nation that trade deals will be made before an August 1st deadline.
The next 2 weeks are going to be weeks for the record books.
The president sent letters this month to 25 trading partners to make a deal by then. Lutnick says as for inflation,
you're going to see inflation is not going to change. Remember, inflation is an expectation of rates continuing to grow. Tariffs are just going to reset the price level for imports, for certain imports from certain countries.
Also on Face the Nation, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, days after the National Guard moved out of the city after being there for a month to help with protests, she says some immigrants have stopped showing up to work out of fear.
Well, it's difficult to get your car washed in Los Angeles now. The employees won't come to work out of fear that a raid will take place.
A 9-year-old girl who was the subject of an Amber Alert this weekend has been found dead in Lake George, New York. State police say the father who called 911 has given inconsistencies as to what happened, and they say there's no indication that an abduction ever occurred. Gaza's health ministry says at least 85 Palestinians have been killed while trying to reach food on the deadliest day yet for aid seekers in nearly 2 years of war between Israel and Gaza. The BBC's Yoland Nell is in the region.
This is an area that seems to be part of what the Israeli military would see as being an active combat zone with lots of evacuation orders in place in the north imposed by the Israeli military. They've just renewed a big evacuation order for large parts of northern Gaza in the past couple of hours.
American Scottie Scheffler wins his first British Open at the 153rd iteration of golf's oldest tournament.
Scottie Scheffler has his Open Championship.
That from the Golf Channel, it's the 29-year-old's second major tournament win of the year. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Sunshine 79 on your Monday. Tuesday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Turning warmer on Wednesday, a chance of thunderstorms. We'll see highs in the low 90s. Chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday.
Right now, it's 80.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Path of most resistance, going hard again. 'cause I've been everywhere, and I'm always almost there.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Playhouse, Session 65. Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my partner in art, our head producer, Seth Habhacker.
Yeah, let's get back to our roots, James. Let's get back to some musicians. That's one of our most favorite things to do on this show. Mm-hmm. It's been a little while, so let's bring on our next guest right now.
We welcome to the WFHR stage a soulful singer, songwriter, creative, Kenny P. Kenny, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to send a shout out to Nicole and you for working with us and being able to make this work in your schedule, especially when I look at your schedule ahead and everything that you've got going on. You are a busy man. I appreciate you being able to make the time.
I appreciate you having me.
We will, before we wrap up, we'll be letting people know where Kenny's going to be playing here in Wisconsin. He's got a couple of dates that we want to make sure to mention so you can go out there and see him, check him out, and, of course, want to play some of his music. We'll be getting to some of that. Yep. And we'll be diving into certain songs in particular and some of that in a little bit, Kenny. But I have to start here like we do with every one of our guests. One of my favorite things to do is find out a person's origin story, their backstory and all that. So, Kenny, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
So I grew up about a half hour east of Cleveland, Ohio. And we moved to Nashville 10 years ago. We've been in Nashville 10 years, but, I've been all over the place. You know, I lived in Arizona for a couple of years and then moved back to Ohio for a bit and just spent a lot of time in the Cleveland music scene. Played in a band called Collage. We were the, voted best band in Cleveland 2 years in a row. And, the wife and I, her contract with her school that she was working with was about to come up, and I was like, hey, man, we should, try our luck in Nashville and see how it goes. So we moved down there and had a little bit of success and, you know, just still doing the things. Now we're on the road. We're on the road about 6 months out of the year now. And then when we're in Nashville, you know, we do the Broadway thing, and I've got an amazing band there that I'm fortunate enough to play with. And, but we do this summer tour, and we usually spend about a month in Wisconsin itself every summer. And I'll tell you what, it's my favorite place to play is Wisconsin.
Right on. Nice. Right on. You're not the first artist that we've had to touch on that a little bit. There's just something different about the audiences and the way they, and I don't know this, but from what I've heard from artists, the way they get the music.
Oh, I'm not surprised by that at all. I mean, honestly, we come here and the way that people react to music and appreciate music, it's unlike anywhere else.
When it comes to you discovering music, you or music discovering you, as it often works for a lot of us creatives and everything, how did that happen? How did you get into that?
I grew up in a family of not professional musicians per se, but everybody sings. Everybody loves music. My entire family, like we'd go on, you know, I grew up at the end of where we didn't have phones and tablets and everything to keep us busy. So we'd go I grew up riding horses, competing in Western contesting. And so we were driving all the time, going to horse shows and everything. So we'd be in the car a lot, and either the radio would be on, and if the radio wasn't on, we'd be singing songs the entire time. Summer vacations, you know, if we went to like Myrtle Beach or something, it'd be a 13-hour car ride, and we'd be singing the entire time in four-part harmonies. And my dad grew up that same way. a generation ahead. I mean, and he had three siblings, so there's four of them, and then my grandma and grandpa, and they'd all be singing for weeks at a time in the car on their summer vacations, and it just kind of, I guess you could say it's in our blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sounds like it. Yeah.
Kind of leads into my next question, because I would like to ask people about their influences as well. And I encourage people to check out on the Facebooker Kenny and look him up. He's got a great website, great page there. You can keep up to date on the things he's doing and some of the stuff we're talking about today and some of his music and also seeing some of his influences there. And you've got a nice wide range, which is just, we love that around here, seeing these different names being put together. When it comes to influences, both professionally or just even on a personal level, like the people you're talking about just now, who are some of those bigger influences?
Oh, man, I you could say I'm a mixed bag of tricks. I grew up on everything from Frank Sinatra to Elton John, a lot of, you know, 80s rock, 90s country music, 90s alt rock, you know, Goo Goo Dolls, Matchbox 20, that kind of stuff as far as the 90s alt rock stuff goes. 90s country, I mean, we're looking at the greats, George Strait, Garth Brooks, Joe Diffie, Randy Travis, Travis Tritt. I mean, all of them, all the names as far as big names that you've heard of, guys you've never heard of. My choir director throughout high school, by the name of James Brown, not the James Brown.
Boy, that had to, I can't imagine. That might have been fun as a music director.
But he taught me how to sing classical music and in opera. And I actually went to school to sing opera.
Wow.
And, turned a different direction, obviously, but, He was a huge influence. He taught me how to breathe right and sing and control the soft palate and just things that just most people wouldn't even think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Drilled in my brain.
Yeah, I think a little behind the curtain look for everybody, even Kenny maybe here a little bit. One of the original reasons we reached out to Kenny was our country station and 105.5 WIRI and the Sunrise Show, the morning show we do over there, and thought it'd be fun to have Ken on with some of that. And talking with and getting into his music a little bit more and listening to you, Kenny, I think you, yes, you fit perfectly on a country station. You also fit pretty good on this station and this station and this station. I mean, you can hear some of that influence, I think, in your music. Even, we'll talk more about this in a moment, but even when you're covering a song, you're honoring the song while also making it your own. And I think that's one of the toughest things to do as an artist. And I can hear you do it all the time. I've heard you do it in a number of different songs, along with your kind of original stuff. I don't know that I could label you. I don't know that I could say, oh, he is this style of musician. I hear that those influences in that work.
That's been one of the biggest challenges, is trying to figure out where to, like you said, label myself. I don't think I'm country. I don't claim country. I love country music, but I think George Strait would punch me in the face.
You and a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah, yeah. George, he's going to have some bruises on those hands if he starts doing it. Yeah.
And I don't think he's a mean guy. I think
no, not at all.
But it's a great note. It's actually a really good note on, I think, a lot of the conversation going on right now with country music and a lot of people's push and pull with it and stuff. This is such a fun time in music, I think, because so much is open. And we are getting rid of a lot of labels and a lot of that, which opens things up to more musicians being heard by more people, which I think is a big part of all this. But it's also got to be extremely difficult for the artists themselves, because marketing, getting yourself out there,
right,
is just as important, yeah, almost as knowing the notes. So where to send your music, what radio stations to, or what, you know, some of that is, it can be, I can't imagine how difficult that can be. I appreciate you noting that.
It is difficult to try and figure out what a niche I would be in. necessarily. Honestly, one of my favorite compliments I ever get when I'm playing a show is, man, just the variety of music you play. You've got something for everybody. And that's 100% what I'm trying to do, because I grew up on so many different types of music. Like I said, anywhere from Frank Sinatra to Elton John to country music, everything. And I like to, I mean, honestly, I'm just playing everything that I like. I'm hoping that other people like it too.
One of the tougher things I had to learn in radio, when I first started in radio, I was an actor. I'm an actor by trade, so I was an actor trying to be a radio DJ, and that's all I was doing. And I didn't realize how quickly you have to, if you can't entertain yourself, how can you expect to entertain anybody else? You have to enjoy it yourself. You got to like it a little bit.
On your own, nobody else is having fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a really cool note. It's interesting. It's just interesting hearing it from another, from singing and that perspective.
Right.
What instruments do you play, Ken? I've seen you with a guitar. Do you play guitar? Do you play anything else?
Well, obviously guitar is my main thing, and I would call myself a mediocre guitar player, because I play rhythm. You get me on a lead guitar, you're not going to be happy about it. But I dabble in some other things. I play a little piano. I play some melodica. I'm one of the worst drummers you've ever heard, but I can keep a beat. Play a little stand-up bass. I don't know. If I blow through a harmonica, you might plug your ears. But
Just even playing those, I think, is brave enough. That's awesome.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Kenny, one of the things that I wanted to get into with you is the purposes of this show first is to support and artists supporting artists, creatives supporting creatives, and help and promote people like you and get you out there, hopefully heard and seen by more and more people. The other part of this, though, the secondary side quest of it, is to encourage artists and artists out there that are in those early stages or trying to figure out what they want to do or if they want to do this, how to make it happen. It's a part of the reason why we love talking with people like yourself, Kenny, that are in the mix and doing it right now, as in real time. So it's a difficult question, but I got to ask, was there a moment or time that you were like, yeah, this is what I want to do? When did you know this is what you wanted to pursue?
Oh, man, that's tough.
One or two curveballs. This is one of them.
I'd like to say that I've always known this is what I wanted to do. I mean, there were times I've obviously doubted it.
Mm-hmm, right.
Times. I'm getting up there in age, and you're like, is it too late? I said it 10 years ago. I'm like, I'm gonna be 28 years old. I think I'm too old. No, I'm gonna be too old for the scene. Nobody's gonna want to hear it. And my wife obviously was just always super encouraging about it. She's like, you just got to keep going, man. Just keep playing, and if something's gonna happen, it'll happen. And honestly, The biggest question I get all the time, especially being in Nashville, people come up to me and they're like, "So what are you doing here? Are you trying to make it?" And that's a broad question, because right. Like, what do you mean by make it? Do I want to be Chris Stapleton? I mean, I'd certainly love to have his career, but as far as I'm concerned, I've already made it. I get to travel the country with my wife and my son and my dog and get to play music for a living. Mm. And that's all I have to do is drive the truck and play the music. And man, we're having an amazing time. We get to see the country, especially Wisconsin, which we love. It's our favorite place to be. And as far as I'm concerned, I've made it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you're singing our song, man. Right. That's something that Seth and I feel.
We talk about that a lot.
Yeah. And especially when you're young and you're thinking about these things, especially, you know, for you, you feeling it. It's something that sounds like you've always felt. I know for me, I was 7 when I knew I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to do that. And when you're young and the goals and the things and what you think of as making it, and as you get older and what you realize is making it. It's a fun place to be in a lot of ways. Yeah. To that point, and kind of talking about making it and some of these things and where you get your breaks, I encourage everybody to check out Kenny's Linktree. You can, and I'll tell you how you can find that before we wrap up today and everything. There's so much great stuff there with his music and a lot of information about him. And there is the NBC Voice blind audition you did. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got that opportunity and how that went?
Well, that was an interesting journey. I had done some of the shows before, well, auditioned for some of the shows, mm-hmm. I should say, and not made it very far. Idle a couple times. I'd done the cattle calls for The Voice, and finally I told my wife, I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, we're not trying the reality TV voice competition things anymore. And then I was playing at a place called Rippy's in Nashville. And this guy comes up to my wife and he goes, "Hey, I'm a producer for The Voice. And I'd love to talk to your husband about coming on the show." And she goes, I'm going to tell you can talk to him about it, but he's not going to be interested." And he did. He came up to me. He's like, "Hey, man, I'm Tobin. I'm from The Voice." And I go, "No thanks, man." And he goes, "What do you mean, no thanks?" I was like, "I've done the whole thing." And he goes, "Let me tell you, this is different. I want you to come to Atlanta. If you're skipping all the cattle call stuff, and we just want you to do like basically a fake blind audition." So we went to Atlanta. I was like, "Okay, I'll give it a shot." So we went to Atlanta, and they had me sing 3 songs. I think I did "Simple Man." I think I did "Whipping Post." I can't remember the 3rd one off the top of my head. And he goes, "Okay, well, you did as good as you could today, and we'll let you know. If you don't hear from us by July 1st, then you didn't make it." I was like, "All right." Mm. So we proceeded on with life. And my wife and my buddy Paul and I were headed to a gig in Houston. And I think it was like June 30th. And we had all but given up mm-hmm. on even hearing back at this point, because we're like July 1st, June 30th. And we're about halfway to Houston, and I get a call from a L.A. number. I was like, "Well, okay, see what happens, answer it." And the rest was history mm-hmm. as far as, like, getting on the show. They're like, "We want you to come out to L.A., do the thing." And I'll tell you what, man, I had so much fun being on the show. I didn't make it as far as some of my friends have made it, but It was one of the best experiences I ever had. It was some of the best singers I've ever met, and just feeding off each other, it was amazing.
It's a great story.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's so good to hear. Being the audience already knows this about me, but being honest with you, man, excuse me. I don't do reality TV. I don't watch a lot of it. I don't watch any of it. I don't take any in, whether it's this kind of stuff or the Survivor kind of thing or anything like that. But I will say I am a huge supporter of get your break. I don't care how it happens. Get your break. Whatever you got to do to get yourself out there. If you're a creative, you do what you got to do. You hustle. You make it happen. We're all in the same boat, and we should all be rooting for each other when it comes to that. However it is, I feel the same way about a lot of people. I have a friend who's a musician who got a little bit of attention from a TikTok he did, and he was embarrassed to tell us and his these other teachers about it, because he's about my age, and he did it. It happened for him and everything. I'm like, man, dude, you got nothing to keep your chin up. You got noticed. That's what this is about. Right. It's so difficult to do for every person that is related to somebody in the industry or whatever, has a connection. There are a million of us out there that are trying to just get that attention, get that break. So I like, what I will say is I like programs like this because of that. For every person and whatever political, you know, whatever, you know, kind of politics go on in the background or whatever in these shows, I don't know. And I almost don't, I don't worry about that. If you get on the show, you've already won. To me, you're already getting seen by people that you probably wouldn't have been seen by otherwise, right. Possibly.
Right.
And so that's a win. And you did the other song you did was Hello, It's Me. And I mentioned it because you did such a dang good job with it, man. I got to mention it. It was great. I've heard that song my whole life. I haven't heard it like that.
Rundgren fan,
oh,
fan
God,
here.
Rundgren.
So,
yeah.
Everybody loves
it's one of my mom's favorite songs. I've never heard it sung with soul. Like, I love Todd. I miss him. I think he was an amazing artist and much more versatile and complex than people seem to really realize. But even that said, I ain't heard it like that. That sounded good. It sounded real good, man. I liked it. So I don't know where we're at time-wise, Seth. Do I got time for another question or two?
Keep going.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll keep
we
going.
Got
thank you
we're
for
good.
That. Thank you. Because right, I have so many questions for you. Now I can get into really what this interview is all about, Kenny. I'm going to be honest with you. I have, if you pressed me, I got to say my favorite voices of all time, it is Patsy Cline and Billie Holiday. Those are the two. There are plenty of people like Marvin Gaye and, Greg Allman and other people that I really enjoy their voices. But those are the two artists that I grew up from the youngest of ages loving and listening to. And one of those songs that, of course, Patsy Cline and Crazy. So they're in if I'm thinking songs that I've heard the most in my life, I would not argue with somebody if they said Crazy is a song you've heard the most in your life. I wouldn't be surprised by that. And certainly Patsy's version. I've heard other versions and everything. But once again, Kenny.
Well, Willie Nelson wrote that.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yep.
And he, the great one there.
Right.
I don't know how you take a song like that, that has that kind of history and that kind of legacy on it, and do the song. Even just having the courage to do the song to me, I don't care how big of an ego you got. It's got to take something to be able to do right. That song and put that aside to do this song. But then to do it so honorably, so with your own voice, like not trying to do anything, doing homage to what she did and the song that
right.
It gives, but also just doing your own thing with it. Again, this is something you can find on Kenny's website and his link tree. I cannot encourage you enough to. We'll play it during our show here, too. But I mean, right. I'm telling people to bookmark this for later. You're going to want to hear it again. You're going to want to hear it again and again and again.
Yeah.
Kenny, what was the thought process of choosing that song, and what was it like performing it?
Well, honestly, I'm gonna tell you the answer to this is silly, because I was playing with my band in Nashville. This is probably 8 years ago. It was after I was on The Voice, and some drunk guy came up and jokingly requested that song.
Awesome.
Nice.
And awesome. I was like, okay, man, joke's on you, because I sing lady songs sometimes, and I had never sang it before, and it went over really well, and we just kept on doing it. And honestly, I love singing it. I love playing it for people, because the reaction I get from people is, that guy sounds like a lady. And I love it, because it's always a big surprise to the crowd. And honestly, it's one of those songs, like you said, it's an iconic song. And if you can pull it off, which I hope I do, it just feels really amazing. It's a pleasure to be able to do a song like that.
Mm. When I love that story so darn much.
Yeah, that's great.
When it comes to a guy doing the song, you mentioned that the songwriter, the redheaded right. stranger, and Willie.
Of course, he has his own version too of Crazy, right. which is quite good. Yes,
and so I've heard that, but I was older. I'd heard Patsy's version before I'd heard his and everything, and I like his version of it. But what you're saying about he sounds like a lady or whatever. What I think of when I hear Willie, I could hear it when Willie's singing. I could see somebody saying that. With you singing it, I get such a soulful version of this song that I didn't know that the song was capable of.
Mm.
I wouldn't have thought of that about it. I hate to be repeating myself here, but it's such a great job of your interpretation of the song while paying honor to the song. It's nice work.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, that's all what we try to do as singers and artists, is just try and pay as much honor and respect, mm-hmm. especially at a song as iconic as that.
Right.
I mean, that's all you can do, is just do your best at it.
Kenny's also got a great version of Ragdoll from Amber, the sound. You can find that on his Linktree, too. We encourage you to check that out.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Tens of millions of Americans are under heat warnings or advisories this week. Many states are in the Midwest. Frank Pereira is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service.
For some of the areas that are under excessive heat warnings, we're looking at heat index values that will top out way above 100, and that's when you factor in both the heat and the humidities.
A deadly day between Israel and Hamas. Health officials in Gaza say at least 90 people have been killed by gunfire as they were trying to get aid brought in from the United Nations. President Trump lashes out at the Wall Street Journal for reporting that Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent had to explain to him why firing Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell would be bad for markets. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
On his Truth Social site, Trump called the report untruthful. He wrote, "Nobody had to explain that to me. I know better than anybody what's good for the market and what's good for the USA."
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Sunshine 79 on your Monday. Tuesday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Turning warmer on Wednesday, a chance of thunderstorms. We'll see highs in the low 90s. Chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday.
Right now, it's 80.
take yourself out to the ball game at historic Witter Field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball for a fun-filled day. They're throwing a Rafters Baseball Kids TV Takeover on Sunday, July 27th at 3:05 p.m., and you won't want to miss it. Your favorite Kids TV characters will be there ready to meet you and take pictures. Enjoy some tasty food and cheer on the team with your family and friends. It's going to be an awesome day of excitement and laughter. So bring everyone along to Witter Field. They can't wait to see you there.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a highly critical report of the City of Madison's former clerk after investigating how 193 mail-in ballots were left uncounted after the 2024 general election. The clerk was suspended by the city, then subsequently resigned. November 12th, a staff member alerted City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bell that a sealed ballot courier bag had been found, but Witzel Bell allegedly gave the staff no instructions to open or otherwise investigate, did not alert state or county officials, and went on vacation the next day. Just before Thanksgiving, unaware that an unopened bag had been found, an elections inspector reported a discrepancy in wards 56 and 65. December 2nd, inspectors found another unopened courier bag containing 125 uncounted ballots. The 400-page report found several leadership and procedural failures. It concluded, quote, "Rather than acknowledge these significant errors, the city clerk and her staff either ignored the issue or willfully refused to inform the necessary parties and seek assistance. These actions resulted in nearly 200 lawful voters' votes going uncounted, an unconscionable result," unquote. The report orders the City of Madison to complete several procedural reforms before the next statewide election in February 2026. We've linked to the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Kenny, just a couple of other questions for you, and I'll let you get going here. One of them, do you have any other creative outlets? Do you? I can't imagine you have a whole lot of time. But I always like noting this. Miles Davis is one of my favorite artists of all time. As he got older, he didn't, you know, I mean, he invented seven different types of jazz. He was always doing things like that, but he kind of couldn't play as much as he used to as he got older, so he started painting. And he ended up becoming a fantastic painter. But it turns out he always liked painting. He just didn't have the time for it. Do you got other creative outlets that you like doing or that?
As far as that, I mean, songwriting, writing with friends. As far as painting, I could paint your house, but you wouldn't want to try and paint a landscape. But
the songwriting is a great note. I did want to bring that up with you. I'm glad I appreciate you mentioning that, because that's a whole other, you know, a part of not only part of what you do, but it's certainly a whole other creative thing, I imagine.
Oh yeah, some people it comes very easily for some people, and for me it's pretty difficult. I mean, I'll come up with a line or two here and there. I'll wake up from a dream and I'm like, I gotta write this line down or else I'll forget it. And that's honestly how most of my songs are written. They start with a line that I came up with, or a guitar lick that I came up with, or a buddy. I write a lot with my buddy Johnny Lucas in Nashville. Him and I, on my Always Almost There album, I think him and I wrote 7 out of the 10 songs on that album. Mm-hmm. And him and I, like, the first time we got together, we wrote the song Repo Man that's on that album. Mm. And we were so excited. We're like, we got to do this again. And then, I mean, 7 songs in, we're like, the magic just keeps happening. Mm-hmm. And he's my favorite guy to write with. And, you know, him and I, we get into the studio. And this is a unconventional way of writing songs, but what we do is we get in the studio, and about 4 hours later, we will have a fully produced, basically ready to go to album song. We, you know, when we're writing it, we put on fake drums, so we'll bring in a real drummer later to put real drums on it, and then, you know, I'll put harmonies on it or whatever, we mix it. But at the end of 4 hours, we've got a ready to go song, which, to most songwriters, it doesn't happen that way.
Right. That's impressive. Yeah.
I attribute a lot of that to Johnny, because he's a wizard when it comes to producing. And then the way we write together, we just feed off each other so well. Mm. And, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
You're right on. Yeah.
That's great. We've talked to many songwriters, and it's fascinating, the process for so many, especially when you're writing as a team. Boy, that's the first time I've heard that it comes, that it flows so quickly. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yep.
Kenny,
it's
I wonder,
first time I've ever experienced it like that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I believe it.
Just one other question before we get to that. I did want to talk a little bit about where people can catch you. You got some late summer dates going on with your tour right now. Coming up on July 17th, see, you're going to be in Wheeler, Wisconsin at 2 Mixed Up from 6 to 9. Going to be over in Minnesota on the 18th, and you're coming back to Wisconsin on the 19th, New Richmond, the Post Bar, 8 to 11 over there. Hanging out here in the state for a little bit longer, you'll be on the 20th in Hudson, Wisconsin at Ziggy's, 2 to 5. Great name. Ziggy's, great name. For a part. Mm-hmm. After that, is that your last show? Yeah, that's your last show here in Wisconsin for a while, it looks like.
For the foreseeable future.
For the foreseeable, yes.
Right, yeah.
Always end up back in Wisconsin, even in December, which we were like, this is a mistake. It's cold.
Right, yes, yeah.
Why did
but
you come?
But the music is always warm.
It is. That's right. Right on. And when that happens, man, when you get those dates settled down and everything, be sure to reach out to us. We'll make sure to let everybody know about that. Because it's been great talking to you. And I'll warn you right now, Kenny, you did too good of a job hanging out with us. You're going to have to come back on the show sometime.
I appreciate that. I was a little bit nervous because I'm terrible at interviews.
Nailing this. Yeah. And you only got one more question, so we're almost there. We're almost finished.
Yeah, the finish line.
Yeah.
Here's the curveball.
Here it is. All right. Yep. He knows where it's coming.
Yeah, right.
First off, I do want to, again, recommend everybody check out Kenny's Facebook page. You can just throw into your search bar. Kenny P should pop right up. I know it did for me. Not only you can keep up to date and everything he's got going on there, but you know, make sure to share his posts on your page. Make sure other people can see this stuff that might not see it otherwise. There is also his link tree that you can find through there, and so many of his great videos and songs that you can check out. Kenny, our last question for you is maybe a little bit more on the difficult end. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why? Yeah.
That's always the toughest question.
If you want to cheat off somebody else's paper, that's fine. You need to you want to call a friend.
I'd have to go with the chairman of the board, old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was iconic in his time and through many decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I just imagine it'd be great conversation and just a good hang. It'd be more like an Irish coffee.
Yeah,
but,
definitely. Yes. Yeah. If it wasn't before, it would be once Frank showed up.
By the end, right? Yeah.
You know, one of the cool things with somebody like that, you certainly have a musical connection and a singing connection to be able to talk to him about. But I always thought of Frank as such a great MC as well, such a great person working with them and everything. I think that there's a lot that you could talk to him about. Certainly all that, and just the party. The after the shows and stuff and the Rat Pack and so much of that. Man, yeah, that's a good one, Kenny.
I'd say either Frank or Elton John.
Mm. Oh, either would be great.
Yes. Wow. Oh, good. Yeah, man. Oh, you nailed that. Nicely done.
Very cool.
We appreciate...
My son's name is Levon after the Elton John song.
How awesome is that?
That's a great name and a great... That's really cool.
Fantastic.
That's a great one. That's fantastic. We have had a blast getting to know you, getting to meet you, Kenny. And as I mentioned, I've already warned you, you're going to have to come back sometime. Maybe when you guys do come back to Wisconsin, we can get you on the air again with us. We really appreciate the time.
Absolutely. I've had a hot dog of a time hanging out with you guys. I appreciate you having me on the show.
We'll talk again soon. Safe travels out there. And we'll remind the audience as we're wrapping up here how they can see and where they can hear you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you both. We appreciate you. Take care. Safe travels.
My girl's a superwoman. She got the whole thing down. Ain't nothing that could ever make her hit the ground. She gets what she wants anytime that she likes. Just grateful that I'm by her side. Me, I'm just grateful that I'm by her side. She got the heart of a lion and the world by the balls. And she don't give permission, cause she makes the calls. She knows that I'll be there to catch her if she. If she falls, but she can't even.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapahoe Way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
It's time. Time for the pro to get everything for the entire job all from one partner. To get access to over 3 million products, including many products you won't find in our stores. It's time to get delivery on your schedule or next day on over 50,000 products. And time to get dedicated support on the job site or in our stores. From ordering to planning, we've got you. One partner, any job, all in. Ask about all we can now do at the Pro Desk. The Home Depot Pro, it's about time.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. President Trump is marking 6 months since his return to the White House by picking a fight with an NFL team, threatening deal or no deal for a new stadium, all depending on its name. Our Christopher Cruz is in Washington, D.C.
On his Truth Social site, the president said unless the Washington Commanders change their name back to what it was for many years, quote, I won't make a deal for them to build a stadium in Washington. He also said the Cleveland Guardians Major League Baseball team should change its name back to what it was until 2021.
At this half-year mark, a new CBS poll out shows some Americans are not so happy.
Jennifer DePinto, CBS's Deputy Director of Elections and Survey, says when it comes to the Trump administration's deportation program,
59% approved of it in February, but that figure is 49% now. Most say the administration is not prioritizing dangerous criminals for deportation and is deporting more people than they expected.